What is up? Happy Heart of the Swarm post-launch day, if that's fucking such a thing. Welcome to Inside the Game. But actually, I am super pumped for tonight's show because officially we can say it is here. No longer do we refer to Heart of the Swarm as a beta, but now a full-blown thing that allows you to evolve zerglings that jump up cliffs. God damn it. It's amazing. If only. If only. Guys, what's up?
He says to a room full of people that have not played a single minute of the campaign.
Oh, my God. But you know what? The moment you're just like, what are we going to do? There's a bunch of siege tanks on this hill along with the bunkers. And you just like send in a giant wave of raptorlings and they...
Are they called the raptorlings?
They're called raptorlings.
Can they open doors?
I don't know.
Oh, we not getting that reference.
Where is that a camp? What do you mean? It's a Jurassic Park reference.
Yeah, well, fucking react to it. My God.
Sorry, actually, my mind started. It was very visceral what just happened in Control. This weekend, I went and saw Oz, Great and Powerful, which is actually pretty damn good. But they showed like a 12-minute preview for Jurassic Park 3D, which looks amazing. Like,
yeah,
I never would have thought. I was just like, cheap 3D. Like, I can't believe it. It looks incredible. So,
is it just a 3D remake of the first one?
It's just a 3D conversion. Yeah, and it looks phenomenal. Yeah, it looks pretty phenomenal. So,
we're all going to see it. I mean, I actually had the pleasure of seeing Jurassic Park when it came out. I feel like I was a part of that history, and it's just an amazing movie experience. You just kind of block out the fact that they then made a second and a third. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like the original Matrix.
I still get epic nerd chills like the moment you see that first sort of dinosaur shot in Jurassic Park. It's so awesome. So anyway, the success of this upcoming one determines whether or not they're going to reboot the franchise or make a new one. So
are you serious?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's like, well, we could spend $1 million to convert this to 3D. Put it out there. It makes another $1 billion, and then on Blu-ray and DVD, another gazillion dollars. And then they're like, "Yeah, let's do it. We should."
They can make a darker remake of it, so it can be like Jurassic Sex Park or something like that, and it's really edgy. It's combining like elements of the horror movie
genre.
Know,
yeah, they're gonna be like, "Okay, Jurassic Park 4, right, man? You know, it's so popular right now. Fucking zombies. Okay, so Jurassic Park 4, but then zombies." In gladiator battles like Spartacus, so we got to have a lot of titties too. And
guy in chat said the dark Jurassic Park rises. I like that.
There we go. This is a StarCraft 2 show. Hello.
Well, yeah.
What were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say gigantic. I think we'd be remiss to start off any other way. Huge, huge, gigantic tip of the hat to Blizzard for launching something and it's just completely seamless. Completely seamless. I was playing at 12 o'clock. Not even like 12.
Yeah, I was watching the stream and we were joking on the stream like, okay, like, is it possible that this is going to actually count down to one? I'm going to hit connect and it's going to work. And the first time it didn't, I was like, ah, it's bullshit. Second time, bullshit. Third time, it actually went in. I was like, holy shit. Now, granted, they've had 3 years of experience now, right? I mean, I don't want to take away anything from the victory because it's great, right? After SimCity just got shat upon.
Yeah. Well, even Diablo, to be honest with you, like Blizzard's own something. You talk about that three-year experience. That's very much so true, but they have messed it up. But it's nice to see that they are able to fix upon their own mistakes. Also, the launch parties. I mean, obviously, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about this, but again, I think we'd be silly to start it off any other way than to say thank you for making it a bigger deal than just like, Hotch comes out tomorrow. You should make your way to GameStop for an exclusive skin.
It was bigger than the Blizzard Championship Series. You know, I mean, it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, we can shift right. Hey, Demuslim, what's up over there, man?
I'm doing well. I'm just smiling. I'm very happy that Hots is released.
Are you?
Yes.
Getting some games
in?
It's nice that it's official now.
It's pretty awesome.
I mean, seriously, is there a mentality change? Like, now it's out. It's like, finally, I can put Wings of Liberty behind us.
Yeah, definitely. For a while, being a player, there was a very mixed, like, okay, what do I watch? Do I watch Wings of Liberty? Do I watch the beta? Do I play the beta? Do I play Wings of Liberty? It felt like we were in this no man's land. Like, what do you really put all your effort on? Whereas now it's like, okay, 100% focus on this game and this game only. This is the only game I'm going to watch. This is the game that I'm going to improve at. And just playing it, it's a totally fresh experience. Like, I'm seeing names I've not seen in a long time play. And the whole thing's just going really well. New strategies. Everybody's super aggressive, it seems. And it's just a hell of a lot of fun right now.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I don't know, for me, it wasn't actually that much. I don't think I'd played a single game of Wings of Liberty since BWC, actually. That was my last Wings of Liberty tournament. So for me, it doesn't really feel like much. I'm just happy that the 12 days of not having anything to do is over. Like, it's actually pretty weird to not be able to play StarCraft for that long.
Does the population of the ladder seem robust right now? I honestly have not played a single game, but
I think it's kind of hard to tell because they reset our MMRs, so we've just been bashing for newbies to get back up to, like, Masters Division and whatnot.
Does that mean you've played some pretty...
Oh, it's just, like, everyone on the ladder you can play.
The first five games are awesome. It's like, you're not the real the Muslim, and then they, like, kind of cheese you, and then it's like, oh, shit, maybe you were. And then it's like that for the first 5 or 10 games, but I feel like I'm getting games constantly.
I didn't know that they had reset MMR.
Yep, totally reset. And it's not like before, if you made a new account and you were leveling it up or whatever, you would get better and better players, so you would gain more and more points because you're playing people with high MMR, or at least you could. But now there's no one with high MMR, so you just have to, like, grind your way up off of the newbies. So it's taking quite a while.
I played quite a few pros, though. Maybe it's just my luck, but...
Yeah, I've had some, but not many.
Well, I played one guy just before we started the show that was... And this is kind of the funny experience of playing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of games against Grandmasters or other professionals. And then I played a guy who all his timings were so incredibly off that I literally was scouting the map looking for, like, proxy 3 gates outside of his base, some kind of weird second base or something like that. But no, it was just that he was just a minute behind in everything.
I get so much shit for complaining about stuff like that. It's like, when they don't know how to play, it actually is kind of confusing. If they do stuff wrong, then you can't react to it the way you normally would.
It was really funny, because it was on that that Newkirk map or whatever, that's like the 2 force field ramp map. It was PvP. And I scoured the map for everything possible, didn't find anything. So then I just kind of went to his base and killed him, because he had 2 stalkers and a sentry, like, 10 minutes into the game. And before he left, he's like, fag.
God, it sounds like I need to start getting
on. Yeah, right, I had a weird, like, existential experience where I'm like, because the guy actually had 9,000 games played, too. That was the other weird part. And I was like, this guy is so mad at the most basic of things. So I wonder how many times he's gone to the doctor, and the doctor's like, are you sure you don't just drink gravy or eat sticks of butter? Like, why is your blood pressure so high? And he's like, well, can I be honest with you? I'm fucking horrible at StarCraft. It pisses me off.
Oh.
Go outside, son. Quit being a douchebag.
That's funny. Well, we're here. We're already on the subject, so we might as well just start talking about Heart of the Swarm, all the different, all the different things. We already kind of talked about the smoothest release that we've seen in quite a while, and it should have been, rightfully so. But it was even obvious, if you saw any of the interviews with Mike Morhaime throughout the day, I've never seen a more calm, cool, and collected individual. You'd think on a launch day you're going to have that, like, grab onto something because the shit's going to hit the fan. But I felt like they were pretty confident that it was going to go down. So did you guys watch much of the launch stream? It was trending throughout the day, hit about 130,000 peak during the Stefano Grubby series. Did you guys happen to catch any of it at all?
Yeah. I watched a lot of the games, Lucifron's games, White Ra's games, a bit of Grubby against White Ra and Stefano, like the last game between those guys, Stefano and Grubby. But I saw it up until, like, Kerrigan came out, and then that was kind of odd. And then there was the voice actor for Mensk as well. He was a little peculiar, but it seemed like a fun event.
When you were talking about the Kerrigan that came out?
Oh, yeah.
I think I actually put this in the script. This was quite possibly one of the most horrific things I saw during the Heart of the Swarm.
what was it? I didn't.
You mean the French one, the one that had the
yes,
like, kill me.
It says kill me.
Is that on StarCraft Reddit?
She did have a terrifying look on her face.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It really is, like...
She looked like she was trapped in a costume. And, like, and now we make it dance. It comes out. And
oh,
like,
my God.
Vengeance will be like Le Mine or something.
I'm sorry. It's just, like, it's... It's really like a bad car accident.
Oh, wow,
I can't,
that's terrible.
I can't
oh my God.
Look away. Kill me.
Yeah, I watched probably, like, I watched all of the European events, and then I watched 50% of everything else, so I feel like I had a pretty good sample of it. I mean, I've been saying tip of the hat a lot, so I'll try to stay away from that, but let's give a nod of approval to the European launch event in particular. I thought they did an amazing job. The they were trying out some new stuff, kind of. I mean, it's weird to say new stuff, but I guess what I just mean is in StarCraft II, we don't see it as much. But, like, decorating the stage in Blizzard decor, like, having it zerged out. The lighting was really cool. Special note goes to Mark Obletz, one of the community managers from Blizzard Europe. He actually produced that entire show. And... I don't want to say it's his first time producing because I don't know that for sure, but it's one of his first times, and I think he did an amazing job. But the stream overlay was very simple, but it was clean. There was a host that was doing filler videos. There was great commentating. The players, I mean, to give you an idea too, Mark Obletz is German. So did you notice how fucking, like, game done, next player's coming out? I was like, where do I go? Where do I go? I've got 3 seconds to sit. And they're like, sit down, start playing StarCraft. Like, it was so,
it
was not esports. That was efficiency at the highest of levels.
I didn't see much of it, but I saw that they did one thing, at least with some of the matches, where they had Flash and Life play, and, like, Life won the first game, and then Flash picked the point where he felt that he had lost the match, and then they did the resume from replay from that. And I thought that was a really cool idea.
I want to extend on that a little bit, Greg, because yesterday, as I was watching this this same thing go down with the Vibe versus Suppy matchup, I was really, really, fuck you, in control. I was sitting there going, like, dude, this is fucking awesome. You know, the concept of this, which is essentially a best of three of one, and it means that you play a game, and the loser of the game gets to choose a point in which they restart. They restart the game. But here's why I felt like it was so awesome, is that, first of all, you got to truly see, for one of those rare moments when we wish we could really see into the mind of a player or know when they're thinking, or just know when did they think they shit the bed in this matchup, and them getting the decision to go back and things get replayed, and them also having a little bit of knowledge about what could potentially be happening and how that can effectively change the game. Here's why I think that it's super awesome. And don't get me wrong, I love a standard one versus one, like the way the game is meant to be played. But back in the Quake days, we were always trying to figure out, like, different ways to keep inherently the same skill ceiling, but make things that would be really, really fun for people to watch. And it was very hard thing to do and find that balance in where it made it fair and you didn't completely rape someone of their skill set. And I felt like this was one of those times where I was like, holy shit, like, I think I would watch an entire tournament if they did something like this. And so that's why I was really, really intrigued by it, because, you know, I've seen the mono battles and the 4v4 pro and Joe, and I would never watch long, but this was true competition just presented in a really different way. So I'm with Greg. I thought this was fucking awesome. I would watch a 3-day tournament
that would
had
actually be
something like
really
that.
Cool, because there's a lot of, like, interesting little stuff that would go into it. Like, if your opponent went DT, then you have to know how long it takes DT tech, so then you tell them to restart the game after the point where they would have committed to it, but give yourself enough time to counter it and stuff like that. So it actually brings in a lot of knowledge for your opponent's build orders and, like, other aspects of the game. That would actually be, like, a really, like, I hope Total Biscuit does that next, because he has a bunch of cool tournament ideas, and I think that would be right up his alley, and I would love to see something like that. It's really interesting to me.
It's just one of those things where I know that I'm wrong on it, but it's just how I feel. I just don't like it. But I know that it's so it's new and it's different, so a lot of people are like really into it.
It's a gimmicky thing, but I think it's a really cool concept. It gives you a little more insight into the player's minds and stuff.
It's gimmicky without, right? Like, I mean, you can't. There's not necessarily an advantage to be gained. Like, it's still two skillful players. You're just kind of like going back to a moment of time. That's why I think it's cool that it is gimmicky without taking something away from a player's skill.
Yeah.
So,
I just like. For me, I find every stage of the game really interesting, so I prefer it. Like, I'd rather Flash versus Life, and it's three games of them trying different openings and stuff like that, as opposed to. I didn't really handle that engagement very correctly. I'd like to go back to that. But like I said, I recognize that I'm in the probably the minority on this, and I don't think that I'm correct. I think it's my own personal preference. So there's no argument to be had. It's just that I personally don't like it.
You know, it's like Home Story Cup. It's like one of those things where it's like, I would love it. Like, everyone's like, Home Story Cup is so great. But if every single tournament did it, it'd be like, it's kind of like one of those things. Someone's going to do it, just like Greg said. It's going to be pretty awesome. It was a sweet-ass way for Blizzard, and that's what I give them another round of applause for. Like, you cannot show off that feature any better than that. That was cool as shit. And we live got to see bugs, because apparently camera hotkeys don't stay. So,
yeah,
better fix that shit. DeMuslim, what do you think? Best of three of one for $1 million. Are you in, and are you any good at it?
I'd love to say I was good at it, but just thinking about which race benefits the most from that, I think Zerg is the best like reactive race once they kind of know what's happening.
I'd agree.
Like Terran and Protoss, they're the races that kind of like if Zerg knows 8 Rex Reapers coming or any kind of Reapers coming or Widow Mines are coming, like they can react to it and they can react well. The problem for Zerg is they don't know what's coming and then they react poorly to it because they're just kind of doing the jack of all trades kind of thing. Sure. So I'd like to say I'd be good at it, but no, I think Zerg's definitely the best at that.
That's a good point. It does cut out a lot of things because like if you do a proxy at Rax Reaper, then it's just guaranteeing a loss in the second game because your opponent just says, okay, go back to 230 or whenever the barracks is a third gun. Send out a troop, you kill it.
That is the one thing that has not been discovered.
You have to play
yet.
The most legit macro games possible just to make it fair and stuff. And then
also, there's probably a part of my
change anyway.
My Protoss brain, too. I mean, how much of Protoss strategy is based on you not scouting exactly what they're doing, right? So it's like he opened Stargate this game. And then they go, okay, let's go back to that one moment when the Stargate just finishes to make his first Phoenix. You know?
Yeah.
I'm ashamed. But it was cool. And like Wheat said, I think it's the best way possible to show off that feature, which is really cool. And we talked about this on Inside the Game a while ago, and people went crazy about it. They love the idea of grabbing a replay from pro gamers.
Yep.
And then opening up the scene where they're like, I'll be Flash. You can be Parting. And he's like, well, all right, but next time I want to be Flash. Like, okay. And then they do that little moment, and it's fun.
It's really, really kick-ass way. And, you know, I mean, as far as I can tell, like, all the feature itself, it works really great. So hats off to them. I mean, throughout the whole thing, and the people in chat are kind of mentioning it as well, Blizzard actually did a good job of providing that entertainment while kind of informing people of the cool new stuff. And it got enough attention that other communities were talking about how badass that was.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic. That's pretty, you know, that's pretty cool that it actually went out like that. But I didn't watch too much of the Korean one. Did see the Flash
live game.
Yeah,
I didn't see that.
And watched, you know, a little bit of the King of the Beta and then the final, you know, leading up to it. And, of course, just kind of played myself. But it was cool. I think you guys commented that, you know, it was nice that they made it a lot bigger than just, hey, Heart of the Swarm is coming out. And I think leading up to it, people were complaining that, hey, where's all the hype? And then it was like, oh, well, here it is, 24 goddamn hours of it.
And across the world, they included Europe, North America. They had two events in North America. They involved a lot of the top casters. Like, if you're a StarCraft II fan, you got your fill. You saw Red Eye hosting. You saw Tastosis. You saw Wolf Caldor. You saw Apollo, Sean. You know, you saw everybody. And then there's a good mix of players as well. there was some silliness to that. And again, that's me probably recognizing that it's me again, because I like pure competition. So when I saw them have Vibe Suppy play first as a ZBZ, I was like, why would you not have Vibe versus MC and Suppy versus Polt or something like that? But it is what it is. And then the competition, even in Europe, it seemed like they were still having kind of fun with it. You know, like when someone started losing, they smiled and like, oh, shoot, you know. But
it looked,
I like the way it did.
Cold as hell, too, out there. I think it was freezing.
Yeah. It was just super positive. It was really classy of them to bring a cake out for Stefano, by the way, and show that on stream. Like, one of the concepts I really like is when a very big game developer like Blizzard reaches out and lets people know that they're listening and that they care, and doing something like giving Stefano a cake, you know, on his birthday during their launch, like kind of giving some of their thunder to a player that's brought them a lot of attention. I think that's really classy, and I think that's really cool, and that's something Blizzard's been doing a lot of.
I was trying to find a picture of that, but I cannot. So
it's a huge cake.
It was freaking huge, man. And I thought for sure that Grubby and White Raw were going to drop that thing. Like, I just was
pop out of it, man. I was like,
Yeah, something like that. It's like, it's not real.
Another stripper somewhere. Like,
don't do it. Which just reminded me of something. Jeff, later on when we open up the phone lines, I want to tell you a story.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. As far as anything else, Heart of the Swarm, I mean, once it launched, like, I got in. Yesterday was kind of interesting because Blizzard disabled global play, which was their way of controlling which regions had access to the client. But what happened is someone figured out how you could just copy an XML file, which I think is what their hack was, is that they just removed this XML file. Well, the smart guy is like, well, I'm just going to put it right back where it belongs. And then suddenly they were able to region change. So there was technically, once it came out in the SEA region, like, it was out. Like, you could play it. You know, your achievement stuff didn't go. But a lot of people getting involved. You mentioned that a lot of people were returning, making a pilgrimage back to StarCraft II. And it's good to see. The number's still high, but I'm excited. Heart of Swarm is finally here. Jeff, you're the only one that played campaign. Everyone else grinded games. Is that what I understand?
We all are not playing campaign. Yeah. I mean, I watched a lot of the videos because some people had early access to, like, C server and stuff like that, and they didn't want to play in the latency, so they played the campaign. I watched a bunch of it. It looks cool. The idea of having, like, an almost RPG-esque boss fights in an RTS makes me a little bit uneasy, but
no.
It looks like they did it really well, and people are like,
it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. I know. It's just a nice
storyline. It's a little bit weird. Jam. They're going like balls deep on this like feral Zerg idea where Kerrigan's like, I got to go massacre some Zergs and obtain their powers, and then I'll be powerful enough to negotiate terms with the other Zerg players that want to join me. But it's cool. I like the Zerg storyline is much more fascinating to me. Like, I can already tell that, in my opinion, the Heart of the Swarm single player / storyline is probably, I did the math, and I think it's a million times better than Wings of Liberty, where it was like Jim Raynor walking around getting drunk, being emo as shit because he's worried about Kerrigan. And this one seems more like Kerrigan being emo as shit, but killing everybody, which is obviously much more exciting.
I'm
and
okay
also
with
discovering
killing
new monsters. There's like, what are you? Oh, the Overmind made me. And then when he died, I wandered through Char for thousands of years. Like, oh, okay, well.
People are saying, you know, no, but I don't think Jeff has said one thing that isn't already revealed from the trailers.
Kerrigan's in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You said Kerrigan kills people.
Oh, my God. I'm son of a
my favorite. Look, shut the fuck up. Jesus Christ. How do people get that emotive about things? Interesting.
Well,
all right.
I can understand, man. I've
pretty up and down term because, like they said, through the groups, Red had a really good performance, and Violet obviously has dominated his group. So I saw those scores, and I was like, oh, shit, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I can actually learn something from this. And I go watch it, and it's just them either, like, MC looked like he had never played HOTS before, and Violet was just hitting timings and being better than his opponents. And then as soon as they got to the brackets and they played real people, they just kind of got bopped. So
we
started out really inspiring and then got pretty depressing.
We did talk a little bit about that last week where, you know, initially some of the games were you know, overall not really impressive. I think I would not be in a minority if I said some of the games that we saw yesterday during the launch event ended up to be better series than what we saw throughout IEM. Do you guys really feel like that was the preparedness of these players as they go into a tournament that was qualified through Wings of Liberty?
There's certainly a degree of that because there were a few guys who it's still a little bit questionable how much they've played. But it's also just that's the volatility of a game at this stage right now. You're going to see some guys who in one game look like they figured it out. And it's like, well, that there's HOTS, like, on to Legacy of the Void. Thanks very much. But then the next game, they don't know what they're doing. And that's just because of the up and downs of the unit compositions, the gameplay, the maps, and how they are figured into this kind of stuff. But it was definitely elevated, to your point, by the fact that these guys did qualify through Wings of Liberty. So there's some guys that have been playing a lot, and then there's some guys who look like they didn't play that much at all.
And also what Jeff said, like, particularly with Zerg games, Zerg isn't really figured out yet. Like, everyone's still trying different compositions. You'd see even within one match, especially the ZVPs, they would go, like, Roach Hydra one game, then adding Corruptors the next, and adding Vipers the next, and then just be like, fuck it, and go Mass Mutas or something. So, like, sometimes you'll stumble upon something that works, or you'll use a strategy that your opponent isn't expecting or isn't prepared for. So that also contributes a lot to the up-and-down nature of the matches. Like, sometimes it looks great, sometimes they just happen to use a strategy that doesn't work out.
Well, nobody knows the ultimate army for Zerg yet. Like, there's nothing that kind of beats everything anymore. And Ultras are really good, but still very vulnerable to a lot of stuff. And Vipers, they're really good for a lot of situations, but yeah, haven't quite been utilized fully yet either.
I'm excited, though. I think, like, some of the games, Stefano Grubby in particular, that had, like, 125,000 people watching it for the European events. It was exciting. There was a couple mistakes that were made that were obviously things that'll get ironed out as the game gets more figured out. But in general, the aggression, the gameplay was just much more exciting. And I know that the fear is that when things get figured out, it's like Protoss air never attacks. But we'll have to wait and see if it gets there or if it gets balanced out. But for right now, it was pretty fun, cool tactics. We saw a minute 35 cannon rush, for God's sakes, on the other half of the map. That was not really cool, but interesting.
I know we're not jumping into MLG yet, but I guess as a preemptive question, do you feel like we're going to see more of the HOTS, the launch day type games, or we're going to see more of the IEM reserve type games? Keeping in mind, I'm not sure how much money was on the line at all this past couple days.
They're only going to get better. People are cramming the games in right now. MLG is a previously qualified tournament, so there's no easy round. It's a very premium tournament in terms of level of play. It's obvious that it would be better if MLG was a month from now for game level, but I think we're still due for some really exciting games.
Yeah, people aren't going to have that much more practice time because, obviously, the game just came out yesterday and MLG is this weekend. So it's not so much that they're going to be more prepared, but they have a lot of pro-level games to look at now. They can see other people doing stuff. They can see what their opponents might be doing. And that kind of knowledge, that kind of just like having context for your own games, that really, really helps a lot in figuring out what's supposed to be going on. So I think that's going to be the biggest contributor. Because, like, honestly, two more days of practice isn't gonna fix a lot of stuff. But seeing what other people are doing definitely helps a lot. So I think that's going to be the biggest thing. And the other thing is that people qualified for this tournament, except for, like, the seeds and the invites based on previous performance, everyone who went through the qualifiers qualified off of HOTS, so they had to have been playing it to some extent or another before, unlike potentially with IEM, where they could have just not played at all.
Yep. I think it'll be... I was worried, because IEM had some weird group play games where I was like, oh, MLG is going to be even worse, but I think these couple of days are nice, and like Greg said, being able to look back on other games is really big.
Yeah, so and we're going to talk more about MLG. I mean, IEM still, they put on five total? 5 days.
Yeah, Monday through Friday or something.
Long event.
Yeah, long event. But they, I don't know when their season starts back up. But I do want to say congratulations, IEM, for, you know, another successful season going into the next one. Sure, they've got a lot in the pipeline. They've been doing, you know, they obviously were heavily involved with what was going on at the Heart of Swarm European launch as well. So good for all those guys out there. Let's talk about GSL and the fact that the final GSL was a matchup that, well, it was a ZVZ, you guys. And someone had a picture. I don't know if it's still up, but on Reddit.
Yeah, the Broodlord versus Broodlord thing.
Oh, my fucking God. What a shit show that was.
Yeah, me and Jeff and Katz were actually streaming commentary of the IEM that was starting a little bit late around that time. So we tuned into the first GSL game to burn time. And it was like minute 45 or whatever, and we actually sat for 5 minutes and watched Broodlings fight Broodlings. As
that happened?
Broodlords. Oh, yeah.
Broodlord
just
is the picture... I got to find the picture, man. It was like, this is how people remember the last game of GSN. It was like,
no,
oh,
I'll
Jesus
tell you
Christ.
What. You read that thread on Reddit, though, and I was talking to Greg and Katz about this. Like, people love that shit. I would say more people. I watch it, and I want to yank my eyes out of my skull because I think it's so stupid. But the comments in it were like, really? I find this to be the most exciting part of StarCraft possible. And I'm not going to say they're wrong, because it's not – you can't say they're wrong. It's more just like preference. So they like that. But I would tell you it's not just three or four people. There's a lot of people that really like that stuff. And I don't understand it, but I'm so happy it's gone. My God.
Yeah. I don't know how – when Jeff told us that there are actually people who enjoyed it, my first response was, well, they must be trolling. So I don't really understand how people can find that particularly entertaining.
It's
different
weird,
strokes
man.
For different folks, you know? Like, yeah. Maybe it was the build-up. Was it the actual fight that they found really interesting?
Yes.
Or the build-up? Okay. Then,
the fight is literally 5 minutes of nothing.
They like the positioning of it. They like the nuance of, like, this guy added Hydralis, this guy went Corruptors. Like, they find that stuff very interesting. And you know, like I said, power to them. They're not wrong. It's just really weird to me.
I saw a Sen against Xenio game a long, long time ago in NESL that was actually very interesting. There was, like, lots of Burrowed Infestor attacks, but also the kind of Broodlord stalemate situation. And Sen won from being behind just because of, like, kind of stealthy, like, flanky play, I guess. But, yeah, the actual fighting of Broodlings against Broodlings, I can't... yeah, I don't know. It's not my thing.
Don't you like watching the little...
You know, maybe for, like, 20 seconds.
The sounds that it makes, like... Did you guys see the Carbot Lurker versus
Stormhost? I was rolling.
That
I was
shit
laughing.
Was actually maybe one of the funniest things that happened.
That's not Carbot, though. That's
Oh, that wasn't. I'm sorry. I feel so terrible. You're right.
That's like sacrilegious
right,
in the animator community, I'm sure.
Dude, oh my God. Like the assassins are being dispatched this very moment in control. It was so good. If you haven't seen it, yes, the Lurker versus Swarmhost was fucking great. Wrong
Ladies
game.
And gentlemen, have you seen it, Greg and Ben?
Is that the one where they go through and compare all the, like, the guy is explaining all the new units?
No.
And he's making fun of them.
It's just Viper and then it's not Viper, it's Swarmhost versus Lurker.
I don't think I've seen that one, then.
I haven't.
It's new. You gotta see it.
You were laughing at that yesterday, right, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. I was actually, I laughed and I looked around to see if anyone else was watching it, but... It was so good. Both those guys, Carbot and Raunchy, do a fantastic job. They do a really good job.
Was Raunchy the one who did the old videos where it was like comparing all the new StarCraft 2 units and making fun of them? That was really good. Yeah. That was awesome.
Carbot's the adorable one. He makes the really adorable ones.
Those I know. They're also very good.
Carbot did the Heart of the Swarm video in Carbot form. It was pretty fucking hilarious. Just like, because everything's so adorable and it's like running forward. Like,
wait, like the intro video with the battlecruiser falling from the
Yeah,
side?
Yeah.
Ooh, I have to
In
see
Carbot.
That would be good.
Oh, I saw that actually. That was really cool. Like, did the like Viper suck thing?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
It was good.
What do we want to do next? Anything else? We're still talking about GSL. That's right.
Oh, GSL. I mean, yes. ZVZ Finals, we can just skip the bitching and moaning about that, I suppose. It was kind of the game's in need of a change. As far as the ZVZ went, Greg and I were laughing because at the beginning it was that like 55-minute long game with that stuff going on. So we were talking about hoping that like Nick and Dan would have to commentate for 19 hours or something like that. That didn't happen. It was nice to see Roro win because he's kind of, you know, he's one of the Kespa guys coming up and he's been absolutely on fire. He's playing some of the best Zerg you'll ever see. You feel a little bit bad for Symbol because he has no first place finishes just yet. And he's a really good and accomplished player. And I'm glad that Symbol made a fight of it by winning a couple games, because for a while there it was looking like it was going to be a 4-0 and another terrible GSL Finals, but it ended up being okay.
Yeah, I think this is our first Kespa champion for the last GSL, GSL Wings of Liberty, so that's kind of cool. And I think it very clearly shows that Roro is by far the best CVC in the world, and any Zerg who beat him in the last, say, 6 months or so is pretty fucking amazing, you know?
Especially if they 2-0, you know, if they don't even drop a game. That's
right. Yeah. Do
you guys feel like there is a general or maybe you've heard anything? You know, we've talked, speculated about it. Do you feel like maybe just within GSL there's any sort of general excitement that the Switch is being made?
I think everyone is. I haven't heard anything Korean specific. I'd have to – I mean, we're going to have Stefano and Thorzane over to the house fairly soon, so maybe we'll ask them. But for right now, I don't know. I was always worried about change, but then with Heart of the Storm, I was excited because I felt like Wings of Liberty needed a change up.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure the people who are, like, on top, like, Life or whatever, who are just winning everything in Wings of Liberty, they're not too happy about it because it's unnecessary, like, potential for them to lose that position. It makes it much easier for, like, the Kessel players, anyone who is on the way up or who isn't on top, to change things up, because it is a different game. Different people have different talents, and it'll suit some better than others. So I'm sure it's more of an individual case-by-case thing. The Kessel players are probably pretty happy about it, because it kind of levels the playing field, and they were already catching up, so there's not too much to say about that. But if anything, it completely wipes out the advantage the Kessel players had going into it.
Can't add anything more than that. Like, Kessel players, they started off kind of late, and they're already caught up, and Roro doing really, really well, and a lot of players like Flash doing well. Rain made huge splashes on the scene, and this definitely gives everybody a new start. Like, and you've seen a lot of new players coming back, or a lot of old players coming back to foreign scene, and maybe the Korean scene too. I don't know how that's going, but yeah, it's really cool. I like it.
All right, why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about upcoming MLG Dallas. And we'll probably open up the phone lines for a little bit, guys. So thanks for joining us. Heart of Storm is out. Official launch happened yesterday, and hopefully you guys are already playing it. We're going to be back after a break with more Inside the Game. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. All right, guys, welcome back. Sorry for the break, the extended break there, but we are back, and I believe that our first order of business, as we were about to take a break, is to talk about the event that is right around the corner, starting on Friday, as usual.
Yep.
MLG Dallas has their first event of the year, and this event comes with quite a few changes that we've actually spoken about on the show. Not only the exclusion of the open bracket, but also they have changed the layout of the venue. Something that, I mean, you guys, I don't know if you know this, but pretty much the layout that you remember from the last MLG event is the same layout that they've been using for years. They've just kind of evolved it a little bit over time. You know, a little bit here, added this here. But essentially, this is a new venture, a new production for them completely. And, you know, that, I think that puts a lot of pressure on them, which is probably good pressure. You know, we're constantly asking all the different companies and whatnot in esports to compete against each other and have that competition, you know, grow the leagues and the organizations, et cetera. But here they are in 2013 with their first event. Jeff, I know you're going to be working there. And you know, I mean, I think we should just kind of talk about it.
Yeah, MLG always has that kind of glitz and glamour to it, and it's almost sad to say, but almost more so now with IPL out of the picture. I think NESL is definitely on the rise, but they still kind of have that, like, still more to prove title on them, whereas MLG is now kind of the top dog. So to your point, I like that they're shaking things up and challenging themselves and perhaps putting on a better show because of it. The three stages separated in the three different audiences was a little bit different and a little bit less than, so I'm kind of excited that they're going to put the commentators immersed with a backdrop of the audience. I'll tell you one thing that worries me, though, and I'd be interested to hear what you have to say, and not to skew us too far away from the production if you have some points, but Sundance actually on Chanman's show, Climb the Ladder, said that he was speculating, not speculating because obviously for him it's not speculation, but he was hinting at the idea that maybe they're done with the open bracket, and I think that's really sad.
Wow.
I'm very surprised by that. I had always gotten the impression that this was the one-time thing, like we said on the previous show. I always thought it was a one-time thing. And the open bracket, I don't know, it depends on how good their online qualifier system is. If it's still truly open, like anyone has a fair chance to qualify, that's okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Especially for me, because I much prefer offline events. I hate qualifying for stuff online.
That's their argument. Oh, sorry, Ben. But
oh, no, it's just okay. Just the open bracket was like, for me, one of the best things about MLG, like if those are where all the stories came from, like even the earliest MLGs, those stories still stick with me, like Select dropping down to the loser bracket, then making it all the way up to the final after like 18 best of threes or something. Like, those are where stories and names are made, like in the loser or in the open bracket of MLG, and that's going to be sad if it is gone forever.
You know, there's two sides to that too, right? The open bracket gives that opportunity for new players to come and shine in ways or maybe just opportunities that they hadn't had before. On the flip side, the value that MLG got from running a massive open bracket was more or less just that avenue in. I mean, there was never huge attention put on the open bracket as far as streams were concerned. There was never, I mean, unfortunately, if you look at it from that perspective, there is probably a lot of overhead that went into running an open bracket. And as shitty as it is to even make that sound like a level of defense, it just kind of makes sense that they would want to spend their dollars on what they felt could provide the best competition and ultimately the biggest numbers for them.
Yeah, I definitely started to see arguments. I mean, some stuff starts to make more sense, like, certainly when we talked about this at the end of December, I was really worried because I felt like a huge chunk of the identity of MLG is reliant on the fact that it is an offline event that locals can go prove themselves. And I think this is still something they're going to have a tough time with because, yes, you have online qualification. I think it'll always be fairly open. I'm sure that's one of the MLG like identification tools, if you will. It's that anyone could make that story for themselves. It's just significantly harder online because you'll always have a flood of players that are really good that perhaps wouldn't have gone MLG because of the travel, but now if their travel's paid for, sure, I'll give it a shot. Those people are going to always outweigh the locals who are like, I'm going to go compete at MLG. I'm not going to win. I'm not going to do well. But if I last 20 minutes against a good player, I'm going to feel amazing about myself and call that my year. You know what I mean? Whereas if you do that online, nobody really cares. It's all about offline. Mm-hmm. So I want to see how they tackle that storyline is, I guess, the point I'm trying to make, because to me that's really important. And by making it online qualification, you might clean up your production, but you're going to lose out on a lot of people that are saying, what about me?
Yeah, but I'm not sure if that's actually going to hurt them in the long run. I think they might just be able to take that hit because, like we said, they kind of just the important part of it is the big name matches, the later stages, the stuff that isn't the open bracket. So I can kind of see them just accepting, sure, you know, it's not going to be as cool, but is it really going to hurt our numbers? And it's going to save us a lot of money and time. So
yeah,
I think we may just say goodbye to that in the end.
If you're presented with two competitions, I present these to you on a silver platter, gentlemen. Here's competition number one, where we have a robust open bracket that takes place in accelerated rate over 2 days, ultimately coming into a championship bracket and then, you know, championship Sunday. And of these games, you know, you're probably going to see maybe 30% of them. And then over here on platter number two, because we've got less competitors, more, you know, arena style, if you will, and the ability to watch every single game that would be possible that weekend, which one, as a viewer, do you go for?
Certainly the more crisp tournament. And I think Greg made that point, too, is just that is the overall better experience for him. And people that are like, what about us, the underdogs, the locals that want to compete? That's an extremely small fraction of the people. And just because they can't go compete probably doesn't mean they don't then check it out online or maybe even attend just as an observer anyway. So I think this is their pragmatic good answer for the overall good of the direction of MLG. But I think it's inescapable that I'm sure we'd all agree it does make us a little bit sad that that part of MLG is probably being taken away. Mm-hmm. We agree it's probably for the good of everybody, but I liked the MLG experience of going there and anything's possible.
Have they been, I'm trying to think, like, they've been the only pretty much Premier StarCraft League that's had a bona fide open bracket.
IPL has, I believe.
Okay, that's right.
DreamHack!
They sort of have.
Yeah.
IAMs have had, like, really large brackets, too. Like, I went to Germany for a GamesCon, and they had huge, huge brackets.
That's true. IAM actually has open brackets at their, like, circuit events now, I believe.
Yeah. But, yeah, MLG was, like, the hope, like, kind of almost the dream tournament where anything can happen. And it seemed for a long time that things always did happen. And, I mean, things are going to be much easier for them. They no longer have to bring, like, hundreds of PCs to events and use up all this area, and the players will be less exhausted, which means you'll probably see better games too further down the line. So I mean, there's definitely good things coming from it. It's just that nice bit of hope where anything can happen, the dream scenario is gone, which is it's sad.
I agree.
Eddie, I'm trying to think. So you're commentating officially, right?
Control? And Anna's going to be sideline reporting, which some people confused for, like, a host job. She's not hosting. She's just, her job's going to be hop up on stage and ask the players questions before or after, that kind of thing. And we went out and we shopped for the most bedazzled dresses we could find. We're going to put her on 18-inch heels and she'll, like, blind people with how much glitter's coming. No, I'm just kidding. She'll dress very nicely. You'll all see that. But, yeah, I'm really excited to host, or not host, but commentate because it's my first commentating gig of the frickin' year because Masters Cup was waiting for HOTS to come out, so I haven't had my casting fix. But then also, I've always wanted to work with MLG, and because of their new layout, EG can now work alongside with them, and I'm super excited about that.
Right on. Well, I'm sure that everyone's super excited to have you there. I think it is going to be cool to see, you know, how the new layout changes things, and if it's just going to be an MLG event sort of plus-plus. Obviously, I think that people can probably expect the exact same stream situation that they got, multiple streams, etc. But good luck to MLG. I think we're going to try to interview that Sundance guy this week on Live on 3 as well. I don't know. Slasher's trying to set up like 12 interviews for the 150 episode. I'm just like, fuck my life. Yeah. Thanks, Slasher.
Nice.
Yeah. So MLG Dallas, that's taking place, of course, this weekend, the first post-launch North America, especially, our Swarm event. Hopefully you guys will tune into that. And I don't really have any other topics on the list, unless there's anything else that you guys want to chat about or that we missed. I don't think there are. So if we want, we can just open up the phones right away.
Bring them on.
All right. You guys know the drill, or maybe not. You can call this telephone number, or you can reach out on Skype. And take your phone calls about anything. Have big plans for HOTS. Excited it's here. Excited for MLG. Are you one of the IPL refugees that has now changed their trip over to MLG? I heard that they were giving away some sort of sweet deal. I'm not sure exactly what it was. But
oh, yeah.
if you had a VIP pass, you could get like a VIP pass to MLG. Which
in
is
general, if you
smart
if you
marketing.
Had... Yeah, if we're going to go to IPL and you have some money put into that, it would not hurt you to contact MLG in some shape or form if you have any interest at all in going over there, because they will probably help you out, is the bottom line.
Let's take our first phone call. We have got I need to turn this on real quick. We have got area code 360. Stand by. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? Hello.
So you guys talked about HOTS sort of resetting or altering relative skill levels. What do you think of – is there any merit to the idea that Kespa B teamers have been running at HOTS 100% behind the scenes?
It's a really good question. What do you think, Greg?
Just from what I've heard, the Kespa in general all switched over maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago. They were mostly still just playing Wings Liberty. Because those B teamers, that's the support structure, the practice system. That's who the guys you see in Pro League, that's who they practice with. So I'm sure they were playing some HOTS, probably more than the A-teamers, but they had not switched over en masse. They were still helping their A-teamers practice for Wings. I mean, I'm sure some of the really low-level ones who don't even matter to their team, maybe they did. But the ones who matter, the ones who would be good enough to switch over and dominate with more experience, they were still playing a lot of Wings.
Hmm. Good question, though. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
No, that just let Indra have that one. Anyone
he
have
was
any
the guy that nailed it. You trained there, man.
All right, done deal.
Shut your mouth.
I got nothing else. There's like this. Don't go to them at all. Do not. All right, next one. Area code 909. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? Hi. Okay, thanks, Colin. Area code, hello, area code 757. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
What's up, man? So much, so glad to be here. I just want to see what you guys' thoughts on whether you guys like this new expansion or not, or whether you like Wings better. I've seen all you guys in tournaments, and DJ Wheat, one of my favorites. I love watching you guys. And, I mean, are you excited about the expansion? Are you just kind of mad that it's out and you just want to stick with Wings? I mean, it's changed it up.
Dude, no one. That was said by no one over the past couple days. I guarantee you that
you know
no
what?
One
There's,
is like...
There are some Zerg players out there. Like, Greg hinted at this. He said life and others. What he meant to say was Zerg players. They're probably a little bit worried. They're like, it was pretty nice in Wings of Liberty
for
a while.
How about this?
I don't think any Zerg actually enjoys playing Broodlord Infestor. Like, yeah. Even if they're willing to just play it out and win every game with it, no one fucking likes that.
All right.
That's good. That's true.
What about, I mean, let's go to the expert in this field, right? The Muslim. So certainly there is some discrepancy between Reign of Chaos and the Frozen Throne. And, you know, some people say, oh, I like the org, this one, that one. Is this possible that over time people try to pull the good old ROC greater than?
We, like, you casted one of my games at WCG back in 2007, but I was only playing for pretty much a year back then.
Wrong answer!
I never played Reign of Chaos, man.
Wrong answer!
I only knew that Human dominated everything, though.
I'm a Silver League guy. That's how much I practice.
You know, it's just remember that, okay? Because when we're talking about Bob McBobstein, the pro gamer that's like, hey, I just picked up HOTS one day and was totally like, hey, man, this is awesome. And winning tournaments is going to be like the StarCraft II version of DeMuslim back in Warcraft 3.
To answer your question, everyone's excited and happy for it. Even as Greg said earlier, there's some people that are winning a lot and they're a little bit worried that they'll go from winning hundreds of thousands of dollars to maybe, you know, being back in the middle of the pack. That's a really real fear, but that's for like five guys. The rest of us are really excited about seeing what it looks like when Flash grabs speed medevacs or Parting starts working. Well, not necessarily Parting because he's still going to do the same thing, but like Life starting to run around with Swarm Host and stuff like that.
He's going to do the same thing with the Mothership Core.
Just make sure that MK Prime, whatever his name is, you guys beat him next time. I don't want to see him win anymore. All right. You guys take care. Good luck this year.
Thank you.
Take care.
That guy was so nice and positive that I was waiting for the troll. So I was like, there's no way StarCraft is this happy.
Speaking of which,
he's a nice guy.
The Live on 3 trolls are basically shitting on the faces of every would-be try-hard troll that tries to make their way onto ITG. I don't know if you know about the fighting game community anonymous guy that calls in to Live on 3. But he is shitting on you guys. It's like, God, he's just shitting all over you.
I kind of like it because it's like an extension of what we knew. Like, StarCraft players, we take pride in the fact that we're very nerdy. We're critical. We're kind of, we're a little bit more serious and we get kind of angry because we're StarCraft players. So our trolls are like, hey, I got a question for the Muslim. Where is this bitch from? And then they hang up and they run off. And it's like, that was the most socializing that person's done this year. And that was very evident in the way they tried to troll.
It's pretty great. So anyway, just wanted to let them know that you're all losing very, very badly. With that being said, all right, we got all these people were just calling. Here we go. We've got Craig on the line. Hello, Craig. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? Hi, Craig. Bye, Craig.
Hi, Craig.
We've got Paul Man on the line. Hello, Paul Man. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hello?
Yes, hello, Paul Man. What's up?
Hi. Can I ask Idra a question?
Well, I don't know. You called up. You just asked me permission to ask a question. I'm just kidding.
That was my bad troll impersonation.
You know what? Then you did good. You did good.
I was waiting for it.
Good job, man. Good job. What's up?
Hello. Well, I'm calling from Vancouver, Canada. I just wanted to ask the EG boys what they think about our recent Pro League woes in Pro League with EGTL. Thoughts on what the problems might have been and what do we need to turn things around?
Well, here's the thing. So I'm going to answer this as carefully as I can because if they were to fire Idra to Muslim, it'd be a huge loss to us. But if I were to get fired, it'd be like no big deal. I'd go make Team Grubby. The very bottom line is no one's happy with it. There's nobody on EG that's like, well, it's understandable because such and such. Nope, it's unacceptable. It's bad. It's really, really bad. A post was made on Reddit, but then was later deleted, which is probably the first sign that I should shut up right now, but I'm not going to. It's been recognized that there's a change-up that's needed there, and all I can tell you is that a change-up is happening, and that doesn't mean we're going to go shop and buy five more players. It means that fundamentally, the house is not working the way it's supposed to be over in Korea, and that's because of staff issues that are going to get flushed out and fixed right away because those guys are in Korea to win. Absolutely and only that. You can say what you want about the EG lair here, but over in Korea, it's for the absolute sole purpose of training and then winning in the Pro League, and they are not doing that. So that will be addressed and fixed. Timelines, how it's going to be done, who it's going to be done to, that's not for me to say. That's for them to tell you guys when the time is appropriate. But what I can tell you is that TL and EG are in no way, shape, or form complacent or happy with what's happening there. And they're working on it already. It's already being done. It's not like it's going to happen in 2 weeks. It's already being done. It's just you guys haven't heard about it yet.
Well, that's great. That's a lot more comforting, I guess, than, well, we just got to work harder and keep on staying the course.
Well, they got to do that too, but they need to work harder, and then they also need to be doing their job and doing the right thing. So part of the nature of this and part of the reason why you guys haven't heard something is because it has to be handled really carefully, but also you know how teams operate. They can't tell the whole world everything. So even as much as I've told you is more than probably what is like to have been told, but it's still not even close to what's going on, you know. But it's just important that you guys know out there that Pro League is a year-long commitment. It was never going to be anything else, and we haven't given up on it, and losing is unacceptable, so we're doing everything we can to win.
Well, thanks. If I can get your thoughts on something, do you think a big part of it is just that the Kespa players were a lot better than what most people thought and have improved a lot faster?
I think it's kind of a misconception that they improved faster than we expected. I think a lot of people aren't aware of how early they switched and like the amount of practice that they put into it before they actually started to get good. People just kind of don't pay attention to that, or they just see it as proof of the elephant in the room, all that bullshit, even though like really it took them a while to get good, and then they got as good as we would expect. They're not dominating by any means. They're on a point where they compete toe-to-toe with the GSL players, you know, after months and months of playing. I think they're about on par with what everyone should expect. It's just people's expectations have been retroactively lowered to try and make it fit that idea that they had going in. I really feel that that's the case with the whole thing.
And a lot of the top Kespa players now weren't the ultra top tier in Brood War, were they?
That's right. There's a lot of B-teamers. Like, no one ever knew who Rain was going into StarCraft II. And to me, that's the ultimate proof that all that was bullshit. It's just like, there's people with an aptitude for StarCraft II. There's people with an aptitude for Brood War. And the ones who have an aptitude for StarCraft II are the ones who rose to the top. Like, Flash is very good, not the best. Bisu, you don't even hear anything about him. He was pretty much, you know, top three Brood War players. So to me, that's the ultimate proof. It's like, if you're good at StarCraft II, you're good at StarCraft II. It doesn't matter if you're a Kespa player or not.
So is the first stage of the EGTL plan that In Control was trying not to say is, we got to get Idran to Muslim to Korea ASAP?
That's something that could happen. Well, it's not for sure yet. I don't know.
Oh, that's true. I thought I heard that was happening, but I guess
it's been a possibility for a while, but it's still not confirmed.
It's inescapable that training Korea is the best, but it's just a matter of when you train in Korea. Would it be the best time to do it as HOTS launches when strategies are in flux, or would it be better when things are more solid? Who knows?
Yeah, well, as long as it's before Legacy of the Void, that's
we've got 3 years, man.
Set. And if I can just ask one last question.
Real quick.
Do you think Liquid C would have made a difference in this season so far?
He hated HOTS, or he hated StarCraft 2. Like, if you...
Really?
But
yeah,
if that
he
changed,
commented on
his stream that,
to the game. If you hate the game, you're not going to be very good at it,
yep.
I don't think.
Everything DeMuslim says is 1,000% true. Like, on paper, C is a mechanical monster. He's a fantastic player. But if their heart's not in it, it'll show. And it did show for him. He played some games that were great, and then he lost to random people, and he just didn't practice and didn't try.
See. Yeah, he showed so much promise, but it's disappointing.
Yeah.
But thanks so much for your thoughts, guys. And if I can just say one last thing, come to Canada, all of you guys. We'd love to have you.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it. Take care. Good night.
His impression, by the way, was really good. I was waiting for it.
It was like, good, man. I saw your face. It was like, so there you go. There you go.
He should have gotten Super Meta. After telling us that it was a fake troll, he then should have
then,
trolled.
Yeah.
That would have been. That would have been good shit.
That would have been hot shit, man.
But he asked great questions, I thought, too. So.
Yeah.
That was
a good call.
Let's take area code 920. Hello. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey. I just had a question. With the Heart of the Swarm coming out, and players like Destiny, whether you love them or hate them, do you think we need people like Destiny that are fun, or that the lower level players?
All right, next caller. Let's take area code 916. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. My question specific for Idra. I had a ton of trouble with two base all-in toss on the Immortal Sentry build. and I messed around with like the Ling build that TLO made popular into Investor, or I'm sorry, into Muta, and I had some success at first with that and then fell off. And then I went back to Stefano's Roach style. Just kind of, how do you handle it in HOTS? It seems like it's just going to get harder because of the mother or the mama core, and the time warp and the recall.
It was obviously already a really good build. You know, you had people like Parting kind of claiming it was unstoppable. Obviously, it wasn't. But it's only gotten better with the addition of the Mothership Core that makes it way better. And Zerg's buffs don't really kick in. I don't feel you can go Lair Tech off of three bases and have enough in time for them to really kick in. Hydras are the one possible answer to it. But then if you sit back and go Colossus, the sacrifices the Zerg has to make to get up to those Hydras are pretty iffy. And also rushing straight to Hydra like that leaves you open to a lot of other stuff. Plus, creep has been nerfed a bit. The range, like, I think it's only 8 range instead of 10 off of one tuber now. And they're slightly slower with a little animation. Burrow doesn't really help. They just sit back and wait for an observer, you know, something like that. And plus, you know, you burrow, that keeps them alive. But if you never have enough units to actually fight against it, the moment you unburrow, just all your shit dies. So overall, it's really hard. The best response I've found has just been going Roachling and kind of muscling the Protoss out. But that only really works, I feel, if you're better than them. You outmaneuver them, you outmacro them, you're just cleaner. Like Stefano, after playing Parting, said that he thought he knew what to do, and it just didn't work. Like, so he felt like he couldn't beat it either. So it's really tough. Maybe we'll find an answer, but right now, I don't know of any just straightforward, do this to beat it kind of thing.
Caller,
thanks, man.
Does that help?
Yeah, it just sucks because, like you said, I feel like I have to be a lot better than my opponent in that situation. I feel like it's a lot easier for them to hit a timing and make, you know, a certain composition and move across the map and hit a couple key force fields. And I have to make sure that, you know, all my injects are on point. And that's dealing with the harassment that they put out with, you know, whether or not they bring a sentry, a zealot and a stalker across the map in the initial portion of it, and I'm moving drones around and trying not to lose my queen at my third, blah, blah. And just, I don't ever feel like there's any kind of pressure I can put on them at that stage in the game, unless I'm like 9-pulling or I do some kind of baneling all in, which never works because the sentry is against any decent opponent. So just, it's really frustrating to play a game and feel like the only way for me to win is if I'm a shitload better than they are.
Yeah, it's tough.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you. I feel you, brother. Unfortunately, I've already got enough people crying on my shoulders, so you can't have this one, too.
I was going to say, someone needs to make a picture of, like, Greg, the consoling father of, like, get outside and quit being a pussy.
That's tough.
Into the deep end.
GG. Let's take David's call. Hello, David. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, DJ Wade.
Hey.
Can we talk about IPL for a minute? Because I feel like...
Just warning, we did talk about IPL quite a bit last week, so you know, okay. Hopefully... But yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that they totally bungled the whole trying to spin off IPL and just the delays in notifying people, costing people money and all that. I just feel like the brand is totally in the shitter now and nobody would ever want to buy it. And again... Apologies if you guys covered all this, but just give me your opinions on that.
Yeah, I mean, if you want the super in-depth answer, you should probably go watch episode 63. I mean, it's the fair way to say it. But I think we all agreed that, you know, first off, it was unfortunate for a lot of people that got screwed. The teams kind of mishmash of people, I think, that kind of took a loss and others that, you know, got out okay on it. You know, I mean, it was unfortunate. I do believe after, you know, knowing and learning more that it had more to do with the company above IPL, the one that was purchasing IGN, and not so much, you know, IPL. I think that they wish they could have taken care of their people.
Yeah, no doubt. It was all Ziff Davis. Yeah. So there's nothing to the joke Apollo said on Twitter today that DreamHack is buying IPL, I'm assuming.
I
don't know.
No clue.
I have no clue. They're for sale. I think that is no secret. Who is actually wanting to buy? That secret seems to be staying pretty safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, crickets chirping is what I hear.
Yeah. So, and probably a good thing. Like, if it's going to be that big of a deal, there's a lot of people involved. There's a lot of, like, good people over there at IPL. Like, I, you know, is it going to be the whole company? I hope so, but wish them luck. And it's just unfortunate that it had to kind of go down, so.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, David, all thank right. you for your
nice
call.
To do it.
Take care. One, or episode 63. A lot of shit there. Next call, area code 281. Hello, welcome to Inside
Hello,
the Game.
Hello, welcome to Inside.
Oh, he hung up.
Almost.
He hung up.
Oh, he hung up?
He did. He hung up. He didn't know what to do with himself. we've got another David. Hello, David. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? All right. David couldn't make it here either. Oh, wait.
Damn it.
I hear David. David, it sounds like a mic just activated on your side.
Hey, how you doing?
David, I knew
it. Hey.
We had faith in you.
I was just wondering if you guys had ever played any other Blizzard games like Diablo 3 or World of Warcraft.
Ben? Yeah, I played Diablo 2, I played World of Warcraft, and I played Warcraft 3 semi-professionally. I loved Warcraft 3 quite a lot for a lot of years, but got plagued by imbalance, even more so than Wings of Liberty did, where it was Orc winning absolutely every tournament. Like, it was four races, and when I quit the last 20 tournaments or so, it was Orc winning 17 of them, Human won one of them, Night Elf won two of them, and Undead won zero. So, like, that was the level of imbalance in that game. But I thoroughly enjoy every Blizzard game I've ever played.
I played through Diablo 3 one time, and it was funnish. Greg and I obviously come from a Brood War background, so we play a lot of that. And then I played half of the campaign of Warcraft 3, and I was even bad at that. So I didn't try the multiplayer because I knew how that was going to go. And then I played a lot of Warcraft 2, because Warcraft 2 is where my RTS beginning started, and I fucking love that game, and it's awesome.
I played, I'd say, about 45 minutes of the Diablo 3 beta, decided it was boring, and didn't end up playing any more of that. Obviously, I played a ton of StarCraft Brood War, and I think that's my only experience with it. Yeah, a little bit of Brood War. I think I played, like, a couple of games of Warcraft while sitting at tournament computers waiting burning time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I played World of Warcraft, played some other Blizzard games. I've always loved Blizzard games.
Back in the day, you could pay $1.99 on AOL 56K to play Warcraft 2, and that was my first RTS ever.
Wait, you mean you actually got the game, or you had to pay $1.99 to have access to play?
Yeah, to pay. I didn't know that you could just buy it, so I had to pay AOL $1.99 an hour. Well, my parents did. It was terrible.
Ooh.
Yeah,
an
I
hour?
Racked up like a $300 bill one month, and that was
you know,
bad.
Honestly,
damn.
Is it just crazy to think, like, I mean, those words just came out of your mouth. Like, I had to pay to play over my telephone line so that I could engage in warfare with another human being.
Dude, those days you Warcraft get a phone 2. Call and you disconnect. My mom put a firewall on a computer where if someone said, fuck, it disconnected me.
What?
Yeah.
That would be bad on...
She put a firewall on for cursing, but what ended up happening was in StarCraft, if someone was like, you piece of shit, disconnect. I'm dropping.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. If only your worst, you know, rivals would have known that.
She did know that.
Oh!
Here's the funny thing, okay? Back in those days, this is like 15 years ago now, crazy long ago. The community was so small, we all played the same people, but they were actually pretty nice. But then one of my friends would do that thing where they're like, you know what, Jeff, I'm going to say it. And I'd be like, no, please don't. And they're like, yep, you've got about 5 seconds. And then they'd just type fuck, and that'd be the last thing I'd see.
That is actually the most scary thing ever. There was a lot of this going on, Jeff, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of sighing, because I'd just be like, it's amazing.
Damn it. Well, thank you very much for taking my call. I just want to give a shout out to Herbsy, the mod king, because I think he does so much for StarCraft on Twitch and everything, and he doesn't get enough love.
Right
there
on.
You go.
Thank you.
Take care, man.
You too.
Peace.
Godspeed.
Have fun, dude.
OK. Godspeed, indeed.
Keep on trucking.
Godspeed, indeed. All right, we're going to try area code 760. Hello. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Oh, what up, dude?
Really?
I don't even know if that was a troll. He might have just been really happy to be on.
I actually,
the guy either running full speed or he was in a wind tunnel and then he was starting to scream. Like,
I think he was a full 10. He was holding a banana up to his ear and the phone in his hand, and he accidentally like hit his head and like, fell down, causing the phone to disconnect. And
he disconnected, or did you turn?
No,
it off?
He disconnect, man. I mean, unless it's just someone like, you know, my eardrums are gonna break. I'll usually, you know, give him a little bit. Whoa!
Let them deliver the joke.
Nice jammies, Mini Wheat. Good stuff.
Then he just smiles in the background.
He just waves. Yeah, they're nice. Area code 281. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, my friend called you, and I'm
hold
sorry.
Hold on.
If he interrupted you.
Hold on. Before
my friend called you earlier. I'm sorry if he interrupted your little thing. I don't know.
Oh.
So I'm just gonna go.
Wait. Hold on. I'm not following 100%. So you were unaware. Hold on. I know you were unaware. You were unaware that your friend had called us.
Yeah.
So you're calling to apologize?
I just called these people. They're like, yeah. So.
Oh. Okay.
So
is your mom there?
If my friend did anything.
Is your mom there?
No.
Is your friend's mom there?
No, my friend's just over here.
Okay. Well, you guys.
Stay in school, young man. Stay in school.
It's spring break, dude. Your
father said.
Oh, it's spring break, dude. That means we can just troll. All right. Oh, my God. It's
spring break, dude,
and preschool's out this week, Jeff.
I had more fun. That call, I felt like I felt this weird element of I thought it was going to come back, man, the thing I always cite with your show, Epileptic Gaming, and that guy's like,
Rustrix?
I thought there's no black people or women on your show.
Rustrix, yeah.
Yeah.
He's legendary, man.
I just love that he was condescending to you. He was like, no, my friend called.
Yeah.
I'm trying to explain this to you.
And then he had to turn the stream on so he could hear himself on the, which is great. Man, fucking the stories that I will be able to tell.
That was good.
Take area code 604. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm just wondering, who's your favorite player and why is it Destiny?
There it is. You could hear it in the speed of his speech that there was a troll there, but I got to tell you.
He read it well.
You landed that really poorly. Like, if that was an acrobatic move, and why is it Destiny?
The funny thing is that, like, I actually have nothing against Destiny and everything against his just dipshit, like, guys that, you know, and...
Well, he says that, too. He says they're out of control.
I know, they're out of control.
It's a weird relationship, though, because I'm actually, I don't know, maybe we're not anymore, but I used to be friends with Steven, but, like, talk to him more frequently, but he'd have, like, his fans would watch his stream, ask him questions, email, they would sign up, they would do everything to support him, but then they would also be the same guys, some of them, obviously not all of them, that would then DDoS him and see his reaction.
Yeah. Which I never quite understood. I mean, just the destructive nature of it overall is that, you know, I went through a pretty serious, like, you know, personal attack on me and my family that included death threats and stuff. This happened, like, right after a whole series of events that took place at the end of last year. And it's just like, you know... It's over and done with. You realize that, like, there's actually just these people that's, hey, it's spring break. Like, let's do this. But it's just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
No one knows. That's the problem. That's the problem.
Just be more funny, guys. That kid was more funny than that adult.
Yeah, the six-year-old to call. I want more of you guys that are the six-year-olds to call in. I like that. I like that better. Area code 330. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. Who do you think is the favorite to win LG?
I'm not even sure of the whole player list.
They have posted, except for maybe, I think actually they did.
I think it's all been posted.
Yeah, it has. That's all posted. They got through, the last match was, I think, like,
you can find it in
week.
A second here, I'm sure.
I'm looking at it.
Do you,
now.
Caller, do you have a, right? Do you have any thoughts or any favorites that you want to see fly out of there?
I think that MVP will probably just run through
MVP, huh?
The tournament.
I think the easy picks are Terran, so, like, Innovation's really good, MVP. I thought Flash was in here. Yeah, Flash at the top. He's got, like, Bly or Suppy Red after that. I mean, he's got a pretty good bracket for him, too.
Dude, to Muslim, you look like you might actually, like, I don't know. Did you get an erection looking at this list?
No, I've just got a totally different opinion on who I think is going to win. I think it's going to be Seed. I think playing the Beto against Seed, he was the strongest player by far, and... Like Jack Chi, who's going as well, I think he's insanely good. So these are two players that I've played recently that very, very strong. But Seed, he was already like a Terran demolisher. And with two base all-ins and stuff, he's very good at them. And with time warp and stuff, yeah, I'd put my money on Seed, I think, for that whole tournament.
Would you actually
getting
put your
past
money on Seed?
Rain
because I will
in the
take
first
that
round?
Bet.
Yeah,
like,
I would like
okay,
to see
who would
that
you
bet
put your money
taken.
On there?
Flash.
Okay, do you want to have $50?
Oh, yes!
$50 it is!
Yes!
Oh, yeah.
Boom. And the tiebreaker is who goes further.
Okay.
I like it.
Do you agree to that?
Yeah.
I just stole money from you. Look at the fucking bracket. He's got Rain first.
He's got Rain first.
If he wins that, he's got Rain or Jachi. Whoop! And then the other side of the bracket is Leenok Innovation.
Yeah.
Okay, I totally missed the...
You sold your soul. No, it's fine. We won't have to do that part. We can just... If Flash wins, you owe me 50. If Seed wins, I owe you 50.
Okay. The grid is totally bummed. He plays Bly, and then the winner of Suffy and Rhett, and then probably Parting. Whereas my guy has Rain, and then Jack J.
Are you just now realizing you read this terribly wrong? And
I was looking at the participants, not the grid.
Well,
and I was like, oh, Seed's really good. But
Seed
now
is
I realize...
Really good.
Oh, screwed.
Hey, he's got Rain first, Marine King Jakshi next, and if he wins that somehow, he's got Innovation Leenok. Like,
gosh damn it.
That is the most ridiculous corner of this entire bracket, actually. It's insane.
Yes.
Any other bets that want to go down here? Like, while they throw a collar, do you want to put $50 on the line against any of these guys?
We all know that Suppy's going to meet Huck in the finals of that side of the bracket, though. So this is all just kind of...
Suppy against Huck? Is that going to happen?
Oh, yeah. Suppy-Huck. Suppy's going to crush Flash, and Huck's going to make his way through Innovation and Enoch.
I'd be willing to put $50 on that will not happen.
All right. There you go. Oh. That's the bet that he wanted to take. It all makes sense now.
You can't hear it, call it.
It all makes sense.
Well, that's stupid Skype. Damn it.
Awesome. Caller, thank you for your call. Take care, sir. Bye-bye. I wonder if the goat lust is around. I got to find out how that New Zealand launch went, you know?
Didn't go to, you know, by the way.
What?
He doesn't go to things. He's not Australian. Goat lust is a very good voice actor for some other
He's actually one of the voice actors from StarCraft 2.
Yeah. It's fucking, you know, Rainer. He just has this huge talent.
Man. And that guy gets so excited every time he's brought on to talk about StarCraft, let me tell you. All right, we're going to take one more here, and then we'll see if the Goat Lust is going to be calling in. We got Richard on the line. Hello, Richard. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? That guy gets so excited every time he's brought on. All right. Well, learn to use Skype. We'll take Will. Will, hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
How's it going, guys? Shout out from Australia, by the way.
Oh, God. There's more of you. Awesome.
There's actually only two StarCraft players in
Australia.
They're
all like huddled around a walled-in
Do you guys have a picture like that you took at the HOTS launch so we can have like proof of this?
Dude, I didn't even make it to the HOTS launch.
Oh.
I was so disappointed. But actually, I am from Melbourne, actually, and that's where my question is about. I think it's in May. PAX is actually making it to Melbourne. I was just wondering if we're going to get any of the EG boys down here.
Let me tell you this. We, I don't know. If I'm not fired, I'm now. There's going to be a bunch of us at PAX East. We've always gone to PAX Prime on some level. No guarantees about that. And then now that there's a PAX in Australia, one can only hope, man.
It would kick ass there, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. I don't know if you know this, but you live in the spot that I can at least speak for myself, but I think Greg has said this too. It's where we want to go like the most.
Really?
Australia.
Yeah, it's absolutely lovely down here. And it's my shout for beers if you ever get down here as well.
Lovely, man.
It'd be awesome. Thank you. We hope so. We'll let you know, I mean, as soon as we know.
So too.
That'd be so good.
If you ever see me crying on stream and just thanking everybody, it's probably because I found out going. Like...
Finally made it.
Imagine that plane flight, though. I don't know.
Thank you for your call, Will.
It's like a 40-hour trip.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right. Let's do it. Live from the day after the New Zealand-Australia Heart of the Swarm launch, it's Goatlust.
Yeah, g'day.
Hey.
Yeah, of course I didn't fucking go down to bloody Melbourne. Are you kidding? That's fucking ages away.
Yep. No, sorry.
That's like
your country's
fucking,
an island. It can't be
that's
far
like
away.
The distance. That's like the distance between fucking Copenhagen and fucking like Italy or something. Like,
wait, are you
fucked.
You're talking Europe again? We don't know.
Yeah. Well, fuck.
Difference in relation to Arizona. Tell us that. Like.
The thing is, I don't actually know anything about America because nobody here takes any interest in it, I'm afraid.
No,
so.
Neither do we, so it's fine.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah. So, fucking hell. All right. Question this week is pretty simple. Who's your favorite caster? And then which caster, which top caster is an auto-mute for you? Or in Greg's case, which caster do you go the fastest to hit the mute on?
I'm glad you asked this because I remember it. It might be 1 year ago today that you asked us which... Here's a little story for you.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Here's the effects you have on us. So you asked us which commentators did you wish were more popular and which
halved
you wish
in popularity? Were less popular. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Yeah, halved in popularity. That's what you said. So I said Bitter and Rotterdam because, and my reasoning was just like, they're not my style. They're friends of mine, but I don't prefer it. From that day forward, Cloud, the Italian player, hated me. He actually like thought I was. He would post on Twitter. We saw each other at Home Story Cup. He was just like mean mugging me from across the room. Finally, I went up to him and I was like, "Dude, what's going on? Like, what are you mad about?" And he goes, I just don't like the way you treat other commentators. And I was like, what do you mean? And he said, on that show, you said that you don't like Bitterdam. And I was like, no, I said, and I had to explain the whole thing to him. And after that, he was like, okay, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. So that's the power you have, Goatless, just so you know.
Just so Wait, you know.
Didn't Cloud make a YouTube blog? Like a vlog where he insulted every commentator?
Yeah.
Listen, the legitimacy of his anger doesn't need to be vetted right now, but I can just tell you that he was not happy with what I said.
Okay.
So, Greg, go first, because you have no problem shitting on people.
For the first one, the favorite or the most liked or whatever, I think it's almost definitely Artosis. He has a rare blend of actually being like really good analytical commentator. He actually streams himself playing and stuff. I think him and Jeff are, I don't know, I guess Apollo does it maybe. But very, very few commentators actually do that. And he's a full-time commentator. He doesn't have time to practice as much as he wants, but he's still good enough and comfortable enough to do that and to practice a lot. So like he really understands the game well, but he can also get like super hyped up to the point where I would feel stupid if I acted like that. But he can do it and make it infectious and make it entertaining and why not. So he feels like the best cast in me, I'd say. And then the one I mute the quickest, I mute pretty much all of them. Like, I don't listen. I don't listen to casters, really. So I can't say which one's the fastest.
Dude, I've casted with Greg before, and Greg's actually muted me as a co-caster. He's just like, he watches my lips moving, and then he's like, okay, he's done. I'm going to say something.
Yeah. I don't know who the worst is. I just can't stand casters. But after listening to like League of Legends and Dota casters and stuff, I understand it more now. Because being a newbie at those games, I actually like the stuff they say that I would hate if I were a pro gamer at that. If I like understood it on a high level, I would find it just worthless and boring. It now like it actually helps and stuff. So I understand their purpose, but I still can't stand listening to them. So just like all of the casters who don't do analytical stuff, anyone besides like Jeff and Apollo and Artosis, and Nick compliments Artosis so well that he gets a pass too. No. I just don't listen to casters.
Yeah, I think everybody's favorite caster, or at least one of them, is Artosis.
Artosis, I'll just throw it out there right now.
Yeah, he makes everything really fun. He's got a really soothing voice. He's kind of... He's so energetic, and you can tell that he loves StarCraft. And that,
passionate.
Yeah,
very passionate.
Really, like, comes through, and he makes you love it, too. Even if you have no idea what's going on. But the thing is, he's really fucking smart, too. So whatever he's saying, it's just right most of the time. And he can say stuff that even pro gamers, I think, could take, like, advice from him. And he's just got a really soothing voice. I also like Rotterdam because he's got quite a bit of funny banter. So when I feel like just relaxing, say if I have a beer or whatever, if I can watch Rotterdam, then that's really awesome too. As for my least favorite, it would probably be the Supernova Man guy.
Maniac.
Yeah. I've heard him commentate a bit, and like Whiplash can say stuff that's right, and then he just says, no, that's wrong, and then says something that's even way more wrong and says, that's right, and it's just, that's the bit that makes me cringe.
Actually, I take it back. My favorite is Harstam. After watching him at IEM, just the fucking the death stare at whoever was sitting in the middle the entire time. That was good.
God, I want to change my answer to Night End now as the best answer or best caster.
You know what pisses me off about the Night End thing? Hey, listen. I'm a hipster about this. I was one of the original Night End fanboys about his commentating, and I coined that he has the voice of an angel. Every fucking time I come back from home story, there's people who are like, God, In Control's so mean to Night End. And then they'll be like, truly, he has the voice of an angel, though. I just think that In Control's a dick. And it's like, that's what I said. That's my joke. It's all in good fun. I love the guy as a friend. Yes. The comments are so funny every time, because we'll sit there and I'll be like, Night End, what do you think about this movie? He's like, he's gonna move and attack. And then I'm like, well... What do you think about the War Prisoner? It's pretty good. You know, just do a little bit more than that. And I'm laughing, and we're having a good time. And he knows it's funny, too. He's laughing as well. But the chat is just like, God, look at In Control just sit there being a fucking bully, making him speak more words while commentating at Home Story Cup.
So who do you hate then, Jeff?
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna answer this a little bit differently because it is truly a goatless question, so I feel like I can take some liberties with it. The answer is Artosis. I'd say the very close second is Apollo. I think Apollo deserves all the credit in the world for being a good commentator because he actually works at harder, in my opinion, than anybody else. And I think he works on all aspects. He works on his accent. He works on his pronunciation. He works on his vocab. But he, more importantly, works on his knowledge. And at the same time, especially during this launch event, you could see him analyzing to a newbie. And he works hard to make the game accessible for everybody, and I think that's really amazing. But I think Artosis, with that passion, it's just inescapable for how amazing it is to watch and how infectious it is, and just how when he commentates StarCraft, you feel like you're a part of something really special, and I think that's really cool. But I guess the liberty I'm going to take with this is I'm going to break it down a couple ways. I don't like it when Artosis jokes around about, like, they have this thing about, like, Nesty, Clyde, and all that stuff where they're like, the Master of the Universe shits, and then that's Nestie's baby that he actually produced earlier when he was already the Master of the Universe, but then he made this other Master of the Universe that took the shit that circles around into the other Master of the Universe. Like, everyone's laughing and stuff like that. I find it to be actually not that funny, but that's me. I understand that. But I find Artosis particularly in his wheelhouse when he actually gets mad about something and he can't detach himself from how that upsets him during the commentary. That's my favorite. Like, when he went off on how Zelda was beating StarCraft and some voting or something like that, he's like, all right, listen. He's like, that game's really good, sure. But he's like, you're carrying a sword, you're carrying a shield and swinging a tiny sword in a fucking 8-bit game, whereas we're crafting strategies out of wood. Like, he's like, just goes off. It's absolutely my favorite. But then as far as the commentators, I mute the fastest. And This is not me copping out. This is actually my answer. I like the guy as a human being. He's a really nice guy. He's a friend of mine. He's hugely passionate. And what I'm about to say is a cup of tea thing. For me, I don't like it, but I recognize that every British person loves it, and also Europe likes it a lot. But Kolaris, I feel like with how animated he is on every single word. He has got to be a method actor that has launched into like a program about making fun of esports. That he's making a documentary on the side, like Joaquin Phoenix or something like that. Like he's making fun of us, but we don't know it yet. Because he'll be commentating with somebody, and Apollo will be like, well, they've got the Blink Stalkers, and the strategy is if he can see up the ramp, he can be above the ramp, Kalaris. And Kalaris will be like, right, if he gets above the ramp, then he's going to just demolish all of the creatures, and there won't be an army to stand. Apollo! And Apollo will be like, yeah, right. So, like, if they do have the Guardian Shield, there's a better chance they'll survive. It's like, Guardian Shield's a right bit good start for the defense, but can he actually do it? And I can't the whole time. I'm like, he has got to be making fun of us. Because if you listen to that and you don't think that it's some weird British dry humor, then what is it?
I'm the only guy that doesn't exercise his mute button ever. I will listen to anyone because I feel like there's value in me being able to comment on someone commentating. So with that being said, I would like to take this opportunity to name the person who I believe in all of the games and all of the commentators out there. I honestly think that this person is like the next Bonjour of commentating. And that person is Jat. Riot Jat. That kid is fucking amazing, you guys. He casts, I know, he casts League of Legends, but that kid is the fucking real deal, man. Anyway.
Thanks for calling into Inside the Games,
yeah.
Goatless.
Hey, I don't mute anyone. I love Artosis, so I just thought I'd throw out there, Jat. I got, like, the biggest fucking commentator man crush on you.
You know what?
So there it
he
is.
Could be great, but there's, like, a huge population of us that have never heard of his name in our lives, so...
That's not true. There's, well,
I'm not,
of course.
Yes, your co-host. That's what I'm talking about. I was like,
seriously.
You're like sitting at the golf club, you're like, Jack. You know what I like, guys? I like smut porn. Okay.
You know what I like? I like fisting.
I'm going to, yeah.
Dude, no.
It was not where I wanted to go with it. Just came out of my mouth.
First, God. I heard smuffed, and I thought you were talking about like the old StarCraft era.
But then I was realizing I didn't want to clarify what I meant anyway, so.
A guy in chat named Double_Fisting, who happens to be there when the I Like Fisting comment comes out.
Yep.
I mean, what are the chances? I feel like I should go buy a lottery ticket immediately. Goatlust, thanks for being still with us.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, I've got to say, favorite commentator would probably be, if I'm not so into the game, like I'm not watching like hours and hours every week and, you know, I'm not playing, probably Tasis and Artosis, you know, they probably count as one. They're fucking inseparable. Or if I'm watching a shit ton at that time, then Greg's analytical casting is fucking second to none, at least for me. So, you know, I enjoy that. And as for who I mute the quickest, when I phrased that question, I was actually thinking of Kalaris. So, yeah, right on there with Jeff.
I kind of wish
Goatless. He is an awesome guy, and there's nothing fake about his passion for StarCraft 2. It's just personally, with his commentating, I personally don't like it. That's just it.
Yeah.
Goatless, I kind of wish you would have said, you know, as far as muting's concerned, every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I make sure to mute Inside the Game.
Yeah,
his
calling. I've fucked that up once.
Yeah, that's okay, man. That's okay. Goatless, have you bought yourself a copy of Heart of the Swarm?
I actually grabbed it this morning. I actually missed the first fucking 30 minutes of the show for the first time ever because my sister was sick. I had to grab her from school. So, yeah, grabbed it then.
Nice. Two for one, man.
Yeah.
Good job.
So, actually, it's kind of fucked up. I popped the disc in, all that sort of shit, said install, go ahead. And it's told me I had to download 2 fucking gigabytes of shit. What's the fucking disc for, eh? Bloody hell. I suppose they do print
them.
Yeah, but still,
didn't you like already have it, you know, preloaded anyway? I just figure at this point the disc is a formality.
No, I didn't have it preloaded.
What
but
do you
yeah.
mean? You like have Wings of Liberty, right? You just it's preloaded.
Yeah,
you have to download it though. If you haven't played in a while, you didn't download it, I guess.
I see.
Yeah. Oi! One last question, guys. Mm-hmm. What do you think is a good time to get out of a headset before it fucks up? Like, how long should it last?
In terms of ideally in a market, how long should a headset last?
Oh, no. Like, what would you expect out of a decent headset? What would you think is fair for when a headset would break, say, a year or a year and a half, 2 years?
At least a year,
using it at, like, your level?
I'd hope more
than
that.
Yeah, if you're paying for these gaming headsets that are, like, you know, hundreds of dollars in some cases, you better get a year out of it as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Is there anyone that's going to disagree with that?
No, I mean, if you spend like $80 plus on a headset, you at least expect a year's worth out of it. A really good brand of headset can last you multiple years. Like, I've had really good headsets in the past that have lasted me for a very long time.
Those Siberias were nice. You could drop them on the ground, they'd work. So far, these Asters are really good. I was kind of worried because they're harder, and my experience with the harder ones are the SteelSeries 7H or whatever, where like... Barristan would fart in the back room, and my headset would just... And I'm like, oh, shit, Barristan. And he's like, sorry about that, Jeff. But so far, the Ashes are good. And people are dropping them, and they're lasting as well.
They're lighter, so I don't think they just, like, penetrate the floor as much.
I'm going to make a porcelain headset and advertise as the best in the business, but if you drop it, you're fucked. It'll be like
no
a
risk, no reward.
Go Lust. As always, bro. Thank you for your call, dude.
All right, thanks a lot, fellas.
Peace.
Have a good one.
Bye. Guiltless. All right, let's wrap this bitch. Final thoughts and shout-outs. We start with the Muslim.
Hello. Well, I wasn't prepared for that one. Well, I'd like to say thank you for all the viewers watching and all the chat that goes on. Like, I really appreciate their opinions. And, it's really fun to read while doing the show. So thank you guys for watching. I'd like to say thank you to Team EG and its sponsors, Intel, Monster, Razer, Kingston, Astro, probably forgot one. I'm sorry, Sapphire. Sorry about that. But having a lovely time playing HOTS. Hope you all tune into my stream. Been playing a lot recently and doing really, really well. And check us out. We're over at Evil Geniuses. Lots of us are streaming. Lots of us are having a really good time. And look forward to the future. Thank you.
To Echo Ben, thanks to EG and our sponsors. Not sure which ones he got, like Intel Extreme Boards in Win Split Reason, as well as all the ones he said. And also, thank you to all of our viewers. And again, as Ben said, everyone's streaming a bunch. The HOTS was down for the last like 12 days or so. So making up for that, streaming a bunch this week, twitch.tv/EG_Idra. Also follow me on Twitter at Idrajit, IDRAJIT. You can hear about everything I'm doing there.
Same as them, big shout out to our team and our sponsors, of course, for making everything possible. Really, really fortunate to be on this team and really thankful, and it's hopefully you guys are seeing that as well. Streaming In Control TV on Twitch, been having great audiences recently, so hopefully you guys will continue to watch. I'm going to be doing more commentary. I kind of got away from that in Wings of Liberty. I don't really have an excuse. I just kind of stopped commentating as much, so my stream became a whole lot more boring, but right now I'm going to be working very hard at commentating every single time I play, so if you want to give that a shot and check it out, then please do. Make sure and follow me on Twitter if you haven't already, EG in Control. I try to keep it interesting and fun there, but more importantly, I'm in pursuit of someday having the largest Twitter in the world, which of course I'll then use to empower children and get equal rights for women and just in general kind of make the world a better place. Just make the world a better place. It's just really all I want to do through Twitter, though, not anywhere else. If you're going to be at MLG, I'm going to make time to make sure and come out and see everybody. I know that MLG is kind of famous for commentators being like hooked ball and chain to the table and never leaving, but I'll do what I can. And I always take it as an opportunity to really meet enthused and awesome fans and supporters. And if that's something you're looking forward to, don't be shy about tweeting at me about it or messaging me in the various different ways, because I do want to make that time and see you. I think that's really important. And I'll be at PAX East, so if you're going to go to that, I'll see you there.
Word. I want to go out with with my video that could not be cleared by Blizzard to be aired during the Heart of the Swarm launch.
You're so bitter about that.
I did. No, it was okay. I understand it. Like, did you actually see how much shit they had to blur yesterday on the stream?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. I was like, really? Thank God they didn't ask me to do it, because I would have been like, no, I'm not going to blur out all the shit. So I did actually premiere it last night. When I was playing the HOTS campaign, but a few people have been asking about it. So I'm going out with this, guys. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Inside the Game. We will see you next week. Hope to see you possibly at MLG, or you'll tune in and watch. Don't forget, we got Live on 3 tomorrow. With that being said, I am out of here, and this is my Heart of the Swarm launch video. I hope that you will enjoy it. Peace out. Blizzard Entertainment has always been held in high regard when it comes to spinning tales of fantasy and using their amazing artists and cinematics to bring a wide array of characters alive in the very games we play. Since the release of World of Warcraft in 2004, fans around the world have begged and pleaded with Blizzard to take their game and their favorite characters and launch them off the monitor and onto the silver screen. Petitions were created, fan pressure grew, and eventually, Blizzard realized that they had no choice. They had to fulfill the wishes of Blizzard fans across the globe. After much hard work and careful planning, in 2008, the first Blizzard motion picture, The Last Hydralisk, was finally released.
In a universe ruled by war, his people embarked on an exodus to the stars. While trying to save his brothers in arms, one hero lost the last thing he loved.
Looks like you mashed some poor feathers, dog, I'm sorry.
But at the same time, gained the power to take on an army. They told him one man couldn't do the job. Luckily for him, he's not a man. On the verge of extinction, one warrior will rise.
It's Karma. Hydralisk.
This summer, one Hydralisk learns what it really means to be an army of one. Larry the Hydralisk is the last Hydralisk. Vengeance has evolved.
The success of The Last Hydralisk was astounding. To the surprise of many, within the first 2 weeks of release, the movie had shattered ticket records from around the globe. Unfortunately, The Last Hydralisk's fate was similar to many other Hollywood blockbusters. The industry wanted more. The success of The Last Hydralisk spawned The Last Hydralisk 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, a prequel, and a 3D re-release of The Last Hydralisk 5, 6, and 7. For Larry, the success of the films came too fast, and he quickly fell to the temptations of the Hollywood rock star lifestyle. After hitting rock bottom, friends and family of Larry the Hydralisk tried to put a stop to his downward spiral by having an intervention. With the help of his longtime friend, Larry was able to claw his way out of his personal hole of darkness. But to repay those who had helped him, Larry asked Blizzard if they would let him make one last movie with the person who assisted him the most, Pete the Bane.
I'm Pete!
And thus production of The Last Sacrifice began. After a long wait, and in conjunction with the release of The Heart of the Swarm, we're happy to show you the first footage of The Last Sacrifice.
The Protoss war with the Scantbeats had ended. After being discharged from the Galactic Army for his inability to take orders,
Colossus, set the Corruptors! Don't waste your time, I got this shit!
Our war hero finds himself on a path of self-destruction all alone. The Last Hydralisk had turned to a life of mercenary work. But with eyes off the galaxy, an old threat was lurking in the shadows. After a lone encounter with this Terran on Teal Prime, Larry barely escapes with his life. Lost and broken, Larry thought that this might be his last moment for any Hydralisk. Ever. Until a friend rolled into the picture and picked him back up. This summer, two unlikely friends team up to embark on a journey and learn what it means to make the ultimate sacrifice. A sacrifice for love.
I've never been with a girl before.
I'll just catch you one.
That one right there.
A sacrifice for honor. A sacrifice for the galaxy.
No, Pete, no, this is suicide.
We're going to save the galaxy, and I'm the weapon who's going to do it. I'm ready to give my life for this. What the f*** was that?
This March, Larry and Pete make the last sacrifice.
Sure.